to read from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Adi Lila, chapter 1, starting with text 48. And the chapter title is The Spiritual Masters.
Naivopayan chapachitim kavayastavesha. Naivo payan chapachitam kavatyastavesha. Brahma yusapi kritam rena mudasmaranta. Yantar bahistanu britam masubam vidunvan. Archaya chaitya chapusa swagatim vyanakti.
Archaya chaitya vapusa swagatim vyanakti.
The vapusa. Not at all.
Upayanti.
Are able to express.
Apachitim.
Their gratitude.
Kavaya.
Learned devotees.
Tava.
Your
Isa,
O Lord,
Brahma Ayusa,
with a lifetime equal to Lord Brahma.
Api,
in spite of,
Kritam,
magnanimous work.
Rida,
increased.
Muda,
joy.
Smaranta,
remembering.
Yaha,
who?
Anta,
within.
Bahi,
outside.
Tanubritam,
of those who are embodied.
Asubam,
misfortune.
Vidunvan,
dissipating.
Archaya,
of the spiritual master.
Cheta,
of the super soul.
Vapusa,
by the forms.
Sva,
own.
Gatin,
path.
Vyanakti,
shows. O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Archaya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living beings by directing him how to come to you. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29.6 was spoken by Sri Uddhava after he heard from Sri Krishna all necessary instructions about yoga. So Lord Krishna, it says, externally appears as the Archaya, who personally instructs Arjuna, who personally instructs Uddhava, and internally as the Supersoul, who is one of the gurus of every living entity. We find this chapter is called The Spiritual Masters and is describing various spiritual masters. Just to refresh everyone's memory, the first spiritual master is the Vartma Pradarshak, he who is giving us the entrance on the path, on the spiritual path, and who is showing us where it is. Then we are getting the Siksha Guru, he who is giving relevant instructions about the process of spiritual advancement, which deals with Abhideya. We know Sambandha is where we make the first connection with the process of devotional service, and where we give up our activities of either karma, yoga, or jnana, and where we are coming to the transcendental platform of devotional service. Then Sambandha is established. Of course, there is this Sambandha has, or connection with Krishna, or relationship with Krishna, has to deepen as we are entering deeper into spiritual life. So it is not that as we are advancing that initially we get Sambandha and then we go on to Abhideya and we have no more business with Sambandha until finally we come to Prayojana, the supreme goal of spiritual life, and we leave everything, all the other stages behind. No, Sambandha increases. Sambandha is growing as we are also engaging in Abhideya, the process of becoming purified. The path of the sadhaka is the path of Abhideya. But still, the activities of the sadhaka are also being followed by the Paramahansa who's reached the stage of Prayojana, of actually love of God. Because these activities are very pleasurable. Because the activities of sadhana are hearing and chanting. And vayam tu na vitripyama uttama sloka vikrame yat srinvatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. That the devotees, they never tire of hearing such transcendental discussions. Rather, they relish their devotional service at every step. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. So, therefore, the devotees are very happy in devotional service and are being guided directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who in his form as Govinda act as the instructing guru. It is explained in this chapter that in the form of Madan Mohan, in particular, Lord Krishna is the attractor of the conditioned souls and gives Sambandha Gyan. In the form of Govinda, he who is instructing the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Lord Krishna, acts as the Siksha Guru and gives the process of Abhideya. And as Gopinath, Lord Krishna, as the Lord of the Gopis, is displaying the feature of Prayojana. So, anyhow, these matters are gradually coming more and more. We cannot just understand them artificially by making some intellectual endeavor, but rather we can only understand them by a purified heart. And there is no way that one can reach out to the higher levels of devotional service by simply reading books about it. But one must receive the understanding from Krishna. So that is the next verse. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tatami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. We did this verse last week, and therefore I will now skip the purport and go immediately to the next verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, taught Brahma and made himself realized. Please hear attentively what I shall speak to you, for transcendental knowledge about me is not only scientific, but also full of mysteries. By my causeless mercy, be enlightened in truth about my personality, manifestations, quality, and pastimes. So it is very interesting that the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord is offering us Brahma Sukha, the happiness of being freed from the modes of material nature. The pangs of material miseries are intense. They come in six different waves called the Sat Urmi, or they come in hunger, thirst, lamentation, disease, old age, infirmity, and death. Right? So these Sat Urmi, or six waves, are heavy. So this element of heaviness is burdening the living entity within this material world, and he may try to deny it and to try and act as the enjoyer, but it is never fully possible. Therefore, once he becomes liberated from this stage, there is a tremendous experience of happiness, which is called Brahma Sukha, which one experiences in the stage of merging in Brahman. But however, within that, there is no further experience. That is the experience. That is it. So in that sense, the experience within Brahman is not ecstatic, but rather it is static. It is static in the sense, it's fixed. It's not, it is a state of fixed experience where one stays for as long as he likes until he doesn't like it anymore. Then, patantiyana dritta yusmat angrahaya. One comes again down to this material realm because one has the desire for ras. Ras refers to relationship. Ras is the taste that one experiences in relationship. And therefore, since there is no variety in form or experience, there is no relationship. And therefore, sooner or later, it becomes dry. Brahma Sukha cannot satisfy. But the eternal spiritual relationship with the personal feature of the Supreme Lord is full of mystery, it is explained. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna is full of mystery because Lord Krishna is completely unpredictable. He's independent. He's the supreme independent. No one else is independent. Nityanam, Nityananam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam. No one is independent. Ekobanam yuvidadati kamam. Everyone is depending upon Krishna. But Krishna is completely independent. Therefore, completely unpredictable. Krishna can do anything or everything. And the Vaishnavas are fully aware. Krishna, whatever Krishna does, he is still always lovable and appreciated. Even when the devotees of the Lord are made broken-hearted by the Lord, they will not condemn him. Rather, never does a devotee condemn the Supreme Lord. Not for anything, even when actually actively put in suffering by the Supreme Lord. In this material world, there's no such thing that suffering is caused by the dealings of the Supreme Lord. Here in the material world, suffering is caused by our own misuse of independence. We are responsible for all the trouble that comes. The mechanism that is created by the Supreme Lord, where suffering is one of the possibilities in itself, is also not his fault, but rather his glory. That he has created a mechanism which has an impetus to make us desire to go back to Godhead is a benediction. Therefore, we can never hold the Lord culpable or responsible for the suffering in this world. This is very difficult to accept. And many times, we may just, in our heart, slightly doubt this point. It is easy to theoretically hear the subject matter, but to actually fully understand that Lord Krishna is not responsible for any suffering in this world is not so easy. Therefore, we can ponder upon this point many times, that A, it is our own fault that we're suffering, and not Lord Krishna who's arranging it all. And that if we go deeper into the matter, then we see that Lord Krishna has arranged this material world with all the various varieties of suffering. Still, he is not responsible for, he's not culpable. Still, he's not a troublemaker. Still, because it is his mercy. A little encouragement is what is required to the horse to go into the right direction. And the foolish horse-like human being also needs a little whack with a stick. So, but in the spiritual world, it is different. In the spiritual world, Lord Krishna is responsible for the suffering of his devotees. Because in a spiritual relationship, Lord Krishna is personally and directly active. And he is the one who's taking the initiative to disappear. Right? and break the hearts of his devotees. He's doing it on purpose. But again, not out of cruelty, not because he is actually lampato, a debauchee, right? A heartless person, although he's sometimes accused of being that, of being heartless, he's not. He's actually very, very sensitive, because he's just looking at every devotee, how he can somehow or other increase the intense hankering for the association of the Supreme Lord. And he's fanning these emotions, this rasa. So that is the essence in spiritual life. And therefore the Lord is eternally a mystery, because we'll never know what he'll do next. No idea. He can do anything or everything, any moment. He can manifest himself in any form. You never know what he will do. He can do the impossible. And in this way, there is no question that we will not be surprised. He will surprise us again and again into eternity. So this is the nature of the relationship with Krishna. It is a highly wonderful experience. So Srila Prabhupada explains here. He says, transcendental knowledge of Sri Krishna is deeper than the impersonal knowledge of Brahman, for it includes knowledge of not only his form and personality, but also everything else related to him. There is nothing in existence not related to Sri Krishna. In a sense, there is nothing but Sri Krishna, and yet nothing is Sri Krishna, save and except his primal personality. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this chapter is called the Vibhuti chapter. So Vibhuti means the opulences of Krishna. And all these opulences of Krishna are described there. We may recall that there was one lady who attacked our movement for stating that Lord Krishna is supreme. Because within this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also states that he is amongst... I'd have to look up the exact verse, I can't quote it. But anyway, he's stating that amongst beings, worshipful beings, he is Lord Shiva. So he's indicating that he's also Lord Shiva. And this person had isolated the verse to prove that, yes, it's bona fide to worship Lord Shiva. Of course, this was defeated by a certain sannyasi in our movement who very expertly pointed out, but Lord Krishna, he's saying that amongst aquatics, he's the shark. So then should we also worship the shark? Or Lord Krishna is saying that he's the taste of water. So here we are, associating with Krishna as we're drinking water. Prabhupada even said that Lord Krishna is not only the taste in water, he's even the taste in whiskey. Right? Yes, Prabhupada was ready to preach according to time, place and circumstances. So, Lord Krishna is the taste, but by drinking whiskey, is one associating with Krishna? Not directly. It is explained that the material energy is the expansion of the impersonal energy of Krishna. So, we are not interested within the impersonal energy. What to speak of the expansion of the impersonal energy? We're not particularly interested in the material energy, nor are we particularly interested in the energy of Brahman. We are simply interested in Krishna, in Bhagavan, in the Supreme Personality. Still, when we see the energies of Krishna, we always remember as such. And in that way, we also see Krishna. Of course, when the sun shines, we think, how nice that Krishna is sending such nice sun. See how nicely he has arranged everything. When the wind blows, and see, just see the power of Krishna. And when the rain pours down, we remember, this is nothing compared to the rain that came down at the time of the Govardhan pastimes. Then the rain that came down, the beams of water were as thick as thighs, right? Gushing down, you know. Can imagine what the residents of Vrindavan were going through. So we welcome rain, because then we can remember Govardhan and meditate. Oh, I wish Govardhan was here. Right? So this desire to be in the close association of Govardhan is cherished and is worshipped by many Vaishnavas, who when they go to Govardhan Hill, make a little house at the base of Govardhan from different stones. They take two stones, flat ones, for walls, and make a roof with the third one, and pray to Govardhan that they may get residence at Govardhan. It is very nice like this. Govardhan, a pile of transcendental rocks with beautiful green grasses growing in between, and the cows, the beautiful intelligent Vrindavan cows grazing on Govardhan. How can we not relish transcendental Govardhan? So this is how a devotee can relate to the material energy and still remember Krishna, although it is impersonal. Although it is impersonal, this material energy, but because we can see how it is connected with Krishna, either we can see it, how Krishna is connected, that as the controller, as Maya Jakshena Prakite Suyate Charam, as the one who is controlling the material energy, or we can see as the one who is manifesting himself through these various things. We can remember the universal form and so many things, but still we are not attracted to the material energy. It is really making the best use of a bad bargain, because basically it's a bad bargain. The body is a bad bargain, and working with the material energy is a bad bargain. The limitations are very, very great, and there's only very little service we can do. It's so easy to dream how you're going to do something great, and it's so difficult to do something great. And while you're trying to do something great, you quickly run out of energy on the way. You run out of steam. And therefore, it is greatness is rarely achieved within this material world. And even the greatest amongst men are nothing compared to Krishna. Nothing. Krishna is so much greater. And ultimately, the greatest are becoming empowered by Krishna. We saw how Arjuna, because he was empowered by Krishna, was defeating warriors that were much greater than him. Bhishmadev was greater than he was. Karna was greater than he was. Even Dronacharya could not have been killed unless there was some cheating. Right? He was killed by cheating. Your son Aswatthama. Now Aswatthama, the elephant, has been killed. Stated by Yudhisthira. Then he lost the desire to fight. Well, then they could kill him. And in the same way, Bhishma also. Bhishma was killed by trickery. Karna was shot while he's fixing the wheel of his chariot. Arjuna could not have won. But by the arrangement of Krishna, he won. So Krishna will make it possible for us to do something great. Without Krishna, real greatness cannot last and is not so great after all. Like Bhishmadev is known as the greatest hero. The greatest hero was Bhishmadev. Why was he the greatest hero? Well, for one reason is that Bhishmadev was such a fighter. Where did you see such a fighter? Not only was he such a fighter, but Bhishmadev was such a noble person. He was so noble that everyone was naturally moved by Bhishmadev's wonderful noble qualities, and therefore Bhishmadev could unite even those who disagreed. of course, not Duryodhan. Duryodhan's envy was so powerful it could not be controlled by even the great hero Bhishmadev. But the greatest, most heroic feat that Bhishmadev manifested was that he made the great vow of brahmacharya. Just like that, to give up sex life. This is the Brihadvrata. This is the most heroic. One who can take this vow is the most heroic person. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that those who are situated within household life, they may travel within the domain of the earthly planetary systems and the heavenly planetary systems. They may go to Swarg, they may go here to this planet or lower. But those who are brahmacharya, who are following the principles of brahmacharya, will go to the Maharjana Tapa Lokas, right, which are planets where spiritual life is the central focus. These planetary systems are above the heavenly planets, and there the sages are residing, who are engaged in processes of meditation and austerities in trying to become self-realized. So there, one is not forgetful. Whereas on the heavenly planets, we'll worry about spiritual life tomorrow. Today is a wonderful day. So, spiritual life can wait. But on these higher planetary systems, spiritual life is the central focus. Of course, devotional service surpasses all this. But within devotional service, still, the principles of brahmacharya must also be there. Otherwise, one's devotional service will be hampered. One will remain engrossed within the material energy and will be remain engrossed in exploiting the material energy for his own enjoyment, and one will be engrossed within the demoniac mentality. Aham Iswara Aham Bhogi. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. This demoniac mentality is haunting us for a long time. Aham Iswara Aham Bhogi. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. These tendencies are demoniac and we have to overcome them. It is not so easy. So this is our struggle. This is why spiritual life is also not easy. Of course, we remember that statement, how Srila Prabhupada once in such a conversation said, yes, spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. Right? So, we have no choice. It may be difficult. I admit it is difficult. Because we want to be demons. Right? We don't want to actually be just devotees. We remember in the play with the rocks, the river in the middle, one side the land with the devotees, and on the other side the people carrying rocks, and the people with the rocks going over the river. We remember that there was a class of people that said, yes, yes, we'll give up material life, but who were hiding the rocks under their clothes, and tried to take them with them. So this tendency of taking the rocks with us is there. This tendency of acting very devotional, but meanwhile taking the demon with us is certainly there. Aham Iswara Aham Bhogi. And therefore, this tendency we'll also find within our movement, within ourselves, that we are still thinking, Aham Iswara Aham Bhogi. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. And where we're still looking for positions that are favorable for controlling and favorable for enjoying. So we have to give up this tendency. And that is not easy. Therefore, spiritual life is difficult. Only for that reason. Otherwise, spiritual life is nectar. As soon as we give up this tendency to control and to enjoy, spiritual life becomes nectar. Before that, it's a struggle. Oh, it's difficult. Because we cannot give up this tendency to be the controller and the enjoyer. But as soon as we give it up, it's nectar at every step. Swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade. So, this is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. We first have to let go. It's not easy. Of course, we have many analogies. That analogy of the hungry beggar who went to the temple hoping that there he would get some food, and who embraced one of the columns of the temple and pushed his stomach against the column just to conquer his hunger. So as he was standing there, one pilgrim noticed him and was seeing, this man is suffering, he's hungry. So he said, here, I'll give you some puff rice. So the beggar said, okay, while he was holding on to the column that was relieving his suffering. And he's holding out his two hands. And the man put the puff rice in there. But then he had the problem, he couldn't eat it, because he was at the same time embracing the column. So here he was, and had the puff rice in his hand. So how could he eat it? So he had this problem, to first let go of his column. So this is it. The thing we are looking for in the material world is relief from suffering. Therefore we're looking for enjoyment. We're trying to escape the suffering, so we're looking for enjoyment, some different types of sense gratification. Now we're enjoying. Oh, it's so hot, quick, let's get ice cream, quick. Oh, it's cold outside, oh, let's have a nice cozy cup of something next to the heater. Yes, quick, let's create some enjoyment in the middle of all this trouble, right? Let's make it nice. So it's not that let us just enjoy. Most of the time we're just running away from the suffering that is created by the threefold miseries within this material world that are constantly following us. It's not that it leaves us alone. No, not at all. The weather is always haunting us. People are disturbing us. These threefold miseries are constantly disturbing it. And if no one's disturbing you, then your mind is disturbing you. So in this way, and if your mind is peaceful, then suddenly your body kicks up with something, you know. So it's not that we are left alone to think of plans. How am I going to get some sense gratification? But rather, we are being pushed, right, by these sufferings, and then within it we try to create some enjoyment. So, in this way, we are like the beggar who is trying to escape his suffering and holds on to the pillar of sense gratification. And then, even when we get some spiritual substance, we cannot enjoy it, because we hold on to the pillar of sense gratification. Which was only a means to escape suffering anyway. So we have to let go of the pillar. Let go. This is not so easy. We have to give up the tendency for sense gratification. We have to give up the spirit of Aham Ishvara, Aham Bhogi, if we want to go deeper into experiencing devotional service. Okay, I'll ask for questions now. If there's anyone who has any questions. Yeah. I read it in Srila Prabhupada's books, who said that the material nature is the expansion of the impersonal energy of Lord Krishna. Well, the material nature is full of forces, right, that are working just automatically. We don't see, you know, the Maruts, right, who are walking by here, and, hey Maruts, what are you doing here in the street? Oh, we're gonna make a good storm, just wait, right? Not like that. It's just an impersonal force that is blowing. You understand? So it's like a machine. Therefore, people in modern times have a mechanistic understanding about the model of the universe. It's a big machine that we're in. It's impersonal. So this material energy seems to be working on laws, and it seems to be working on forces and vectors and energies and all these kind of things, which are all impersonal. Behind it, there is the personal features, right? And it is conducted in a personal way, but we don't perceive that directly. We don't see that. We have to see that, first of all, on the platform of jnana, on the platform of intelligence, that we have to understand there are 33 million demigods who are controlling everything, etc., as the representatives of the Supreme Lord. So everything has a personal aspect to it. But, you know, it's very hard to see. That's why it's so hard to believe for so many people. So this illustrates how this material energy is impersonal. It's an impersonal feature of the Lord's energy. And therefore the verse, Mataparatram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Janayindaya, it says, Sutra Mani Ganaiva, that the Lord is the thread on which the pearls of the material energy are strung. You cannot see the thread. We cannot see the Lord. We are just seeing the manifestation of all the material powers. But we don't see actually the all-powerful Supreme Lord. We see the energies, but not the energetic. And that way it's impersonal. Of course, even within within marriage, there is brahmacharya. There is vivaha yagya. And there is only kamusmi bharatarsabha. Dharma viruda bhutes ukamasmi bharatarsabha. There is only sex life based on religious principles. That kind of sex life is free from fault and guilt. That kind of sex life is actually purifying, which is performed in a proper sanskara after chanting 50 rounds and under prescribed circumstances. That is purifying. But Prabhupada also told some women, don't marry, just marry Krishna. Prabhupada said, accept Krishna as your husband and as your son at the same time. Yes? And because that's no problem. Krishna can be husband and son at the same time. So then everything can be fulfilled in there. No problem. That's another solution. Well, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that these mundane husbands do not have the power to satisfy any woman. So there you go. You will be disappointed by your mundane husband. He cannot satisfy you. So ultimately, your marriage will bring you to the point where you become frustrated with mundane husbands and come to the point where you say, I don't want this anymore. I was looking for happiness and I found so much suffering. So this mundane marriage is actually useless. So when you become devotee, Prabhupada also said that devotees are not women. Devotees are not women. It's to the extent that we are not yet devotees that we are men and women. But if we are devotees, we are neither men nor women. Right? So we got to become devotees. And if we act on the platform of devotee, then you don't need to get married. Still, the material energy is very strong. And therefore, for most devotees, marriage is a phase in life. But then, you should not apply that to yourself when you're not married yet and say, oh, the statistics say that most get married, so maybe I'd better give up now. No. If you can be amongst the unmarried ones, Prabhupada said, as soon as you get married, 50% less chance to go back to Godhead. So it's extra difficult. Because within that, you have to also maintain your brahmacharya. Just like, imagine, I give you a plate, a delicious plate, and on this plate, I put 30 far-out sweets. Far out, right? I have sweets there, you know, with two layers of rasgulla with flavors inside and cream in between, right? And on top of it, a little carob sauce. I will have sweets there, you know, made of crunched nuts and delicious varieties of fudge, you know, vanilla fudge. Soft and smooth and creamy. Irresistible. What is vanilla fudge? You don't know? Oh, so nice. So a plate completely full of all these delicious things. All right, take the plate, put it on the table right under your nose. Oh, the water runs into your mouth. Yes, I'm not surprised. Now, go ahead, take one. Which one are you going to take? Oh, yes, that big one, of course. The big one with all the nice colors and this. Yes, that one, yes. Okay. Oh, it was good. It's already gone. Oh. Now you want another one? No, not allowed. Sorry. Only once a month, lady. Not allowed. You gotta control your senses now. No more. Right? This is the problem with this Grihastha ashram. Therefore, to maintain brahmacharya in the Grihastha ashram is almost more difficult. Now, if you fall down in the Grihastha ashram, you can do it at home. You do not need to go outside. But still you fall down, and then you become contaminated with Grihamedi tendencies, which definitely lead you to another birth, and are not favorable for going back to Godhead. Therefore, this Grihastha ashram, you must be very careful in that. So it's not necessarily such an advantage for spiritual life. But if you feel like that you wish to enter, that is possible. And then it's specifically the responsibility of the woman to make the house very Krishna conscious, where the worship of the deity is going on just as nice as in the temple, and where the whole household rises early. She has to rise before everybody else. And if she does, then the husband will also be very spiritual. So it's not so easy. So much about marriage for women. It's nice. That's a sign of advancement. Yeah, that's proper. That's a sign of purification. Because in the initial stages, the Kanista Adhikari, or the neophyte devotee, sees only Krishna and not the devotees. Right? Is rude with the devotees and is ready. But when one is advancing from this platform, then one becomes the servant of the devotees. And one sees the devotees and sees that I will get Krishna through the devotees. So this is nice. In the first place, by intelligence. By understanding that demons get crushed. By understanding that demons have no fun. Yeah. By thoroughly understanding that demons have no fun. So then maybe we can, even when the feeling is still a little behind, we can just preach to ourselves and say, look, you stupid, you're not going to go anywhere with your demoniac desires to be the controller and the enjoyer. It will only destroy you. So, give it up. Yes, give it up. Right? So by strong intelligence we can deal with it, with these tendencies, which comes from hearing, from bona fide source. Are you scratching your head or are you making signals? Okay, then we'll end with this. I thank you very much. Oh, you want to Sankirtan's course? Alright, so again, it's been a week full of adventure. Many devotees went out on Sankirtan. That is to say, substantial Sankirtan. We have not only devotees in the temple, but also devotees in the congregation who are dedicated to book distribution. And we should reciprocate with them, especially with the devotees in the congregation, and give them our appreciation in various ways, because it's not so easy when you're outside. So on the ninth place is Bhaktaram, and he's done 10 hardbound mahalarch, 2 softbound mahalarch, 9 softbound medium, 1 hardbound medium, and 4 large, 26 books and 28 book points. A particular devotee has distributed books for a long time, and if we look at the grand total of all books distributed, it is substantial. We have Kamalavati Devi Dasi with 12 hardbound medium, 26 softbound medium, 10 hardbound mile large, 9 large, 2 softbound mile large, 7 small, 66 books, 44.65 book points. So some people may think, sometimes I do 66 books in one day. But do you do? How many books do you do over the years? That's yet to be seen. Steadiness is more important in Krishna consciousness than big bursts of great surrender. It is the steadiness that is the quality that will take us back to the spiritual sky. On the seventh place, we have Radhikatma Prabhu with 1 small, 12 softbound medium, 11 large, 2 hardbound mile large, 58 hardbound medium, 84 books or 61.85 book points. It's too early for banging for the neighbors. Yes. Okay. There is on the sixth place, Avadutta Roy Prabhu. Shh. 25 small, 49 softbound medium, 49 hardbound medium, 7 large, 1 hardbound mile large, 108 books, auspicious number. Hurry bo! 62.7 book points. Then, on the fifth place, Beni Madhav, the number one of the Radhadesh Sankirtan team, which was again put with its nose in the mud, right, this week, which was again utterly defeated by Amsterdam, where real Sankirtan is going on, right? 2 small books, only 10 softbound mediums, 12 large, 1 hardbound mahalarge, my God, only 1 in a whole week. And 69 hardbound mediums. You should be ashamed, Beni Madhava. With only 94 books, My God, how do you dare even sit here while I'm reading these scores with 69.95 book points? We want the comeback of Beni Madhava. Look, this whippersnapper here. This young whippersnapper who just comes new on the Sankirtan front and is trotting around like I'm the uncrowned king of the Benelux. Can you just put him in his place and show him who is the real one here? Huh? And the third place, Bhakta Thomas. 2 softbound medium, 164 hardbound mediums. Under very difficult circumstances, he had to face, I'll tell what he had to face. He had to face one black girl who grabbed him by the arms and said, "Come with me." And he still said, "Take a book, take a book." And she said, "I'll cut it out, just come with me." And then that was the first test. And the next day, one guy punched him in the face. That was the second test. So in the midst of all these heavy tests, he didn't deter for a moment and continued distributing books. Did a grand total of 119 books, 91 book points. Hey, Haribo. Not too loud, not too loud. Those are loud cartels for the street, not for the temple. I just donated them yesterday to the temple. They were my old Harinam cartels. Stoka Krishna Das on the second place. Did I forget Bhakta Matthias? I jumped over Bhakta Matthias. Just to create more tension, we go back down below Thomas. Defeated. Thomas here from the temple defeated one of the heroes of the traveling bus party who did 1 hardbound mile large, 4 large, 114 hardbound medium, 119 books and 91 book points. Bhakta Matthias. Haribo. So then Stoka Krishna, 1 large, 2 hardbound mile large, 201 hardbound medium, 204 books, 154, 75 book points. Still going strong, Stoka the Rock. So, Dharmakshetra is on the first place again this week with 1 hardbound mile large, 275 hardbound mediums, 276 books, or 207.75 book points. Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai. So, of course, looking at the results from the the top scorers, they're a little down this week, right? So we hope that at least everyone will try next week to beat their own scores from when the times were still good, and in this way maintain this fantastic level of book distribution. That would be the most fantastic. Harinam Sankirtan Yogya Ki Jai. Yes. Yes, thank you very much for your association. I mean, I've truly, was very nice being here. I'll be leaving after breakfast and coming back on the 25th and 26th. I'll be here for one day, 27th I'm flying out. And then I'll see you again in Radhadesh and on the Padayatra. Hare Krishna.